Welcome to the Red Half of Sheffield. This is a Sheffield United podcast by two American Blades fans. My name is Noah Snyder, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Chad Jarvis. Monday afternoon, how are you feeling, Chad, after that Easter weekend?
Feeling like someone kicked me in the nuts, basically because I just drank all weekend. But I'm all right, It is what it is. The game is what it is. 3-3. There's no bitching and moaning. There's no reason to complain. It's just another game. I think they're still playing, actually, the end of that game. How are you today, Mr. Schneider?
Yeah, pretty good. I have off. It is Cesar Chavez Day here in California, so... we are honoring a labor leader. As you know, I work for a labor organization. So kicking back, doing what I love to do with you. And that is how I am enjoying my day off. But yeah, the weekend was not too bad, man. I love Saturdays this time of year because I get United in the mornings and then the Galaxy in the evenings. And on Saturday, I took my partner to her very first Galaxy game and we won. And Galaxy are flying high right now, my dude. They are not just top of the West. They are support in the supporter shield position, which is, basically champions of the whole league. They're in that spot for the moment. So, undefeated so far. Very, very happy with how the Galaxy are kicking on. So that's my MLS report.
Yeah, live MLS report. Charlotte, my Charlotte, I do not support them. I just watch them for free because I have the subscription. Once the subscription runs out, I will not watch another game unless I go to the bar to watch. Charlotte are currently ninth. Robert Kitson, Cincinnati FC are currently top of the Eastern Conference. They are tied with Mr. Schneider's LA Galaxy at 12 points apiece, but I believe you have the better goal difference.
That is correct.
So you pip Mr. Robert Kitson. As oddly enough, his Cincinnati FC or FC Cincinnati, wherever the hell they're called, drew 1-1 with Charlotte this weekend. And I was talking a little bit of smack to him because they should have killed him. But it is what it is. Yeah. Back to the regular game.
No. I'm not finished actually with my MLS report. I'm going to the Derby this weekend in LA here, El Trafico. It's always a good game and it's away. So it's my first away day of this calendar year. So that's really cool. Looking forward to that. Yeah. Really, really looking forward to that. Anyway, back to United, 3-3 draw at the weekend against Fulham. A better result than I was expecting. And, before the match probably would have taken a point, but especially considering our home form, but to draw in the way that we did, two goals in the last, 20 minutes of the game. When you add in all of that stoppage time that we had, which was just an absolute shambles. How many points have we thrown away this season in the last, 15, 20 minutes of the game? I mean, that's really what it's come down to. That is why this team is going down. If we don't throw away these games and we are able to get draws or get wins that we either lost or drew in, I think the statistic was that we've lost 8 points or 9 points this season based on that. I'm trying to think.
From winning positions?
From winning or drawing positions.
Holy hell, I didn't know we were winning in that many games. It's not surprising, though. I mean, if it's nine, it's really only three games.
Looking at our matches right here, I mean, most recently, that there's 3 points or 2 points that we lost versus Fulham, 2 points that we lost versus Bournemouth, okay? And then... I think you have to go back to, before Luton? It would be Luton, yeah. Cause that happened in the last 10 minutes of the game there. So we would have gotten a point from there, 2 points against Villa, right? Cause we were beating Villa, going into, what was it, the 97th minute?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous like that. And then prior to that, let's see. There was the Tottenham game, then the Man City game, and then the Forest game. So I think that's 9 points.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is what it is. That's relegation form for anybody. I mean, that's why it feels like a swift kick to the nuts. But I mean, if you give us those 9 points back, man, that takes us out of the relegation zone, doesn't it? Due to massive point deductions, which sounds like Everton's going to get kicked right in the old gonads with a $112 million loss, or maybe it was pounds loss. Yeah, sounds like Ibn Moyes is in big, big, deep shit here.
Yeah, Forrest also might have a further points deduction. So,
yeah,
we'll be paying close attention to that. I mean, if Everton are deducted another 5 points, that puts them right into this relegation scrap. You know, that puts them in 19th place. Oof. So, I mean, it could be that there might be all to play for coming down the line here. 9 games left. Who knows? I mean, as it stands right now, insanely enough, you know, we're only 8 points off of being safe, which is
not crazy.
Considering the form that we've been on this season. We're still going down. You know, let's not create any, let's not have any illusions about it. You know, we're still going down, but there's that little tiny, teeny tiny sliver. I think we're like 98% to go down. Hmm. So, yeah, 98%, you know. That means that there's around a 2% chance.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the obsession, and I don't get it. I wonder, it must be because of the manager. But I was riding into work today, and I didn't have any podcasts to listen to because Tufty Club just sucks at life, and they don't put one out.
I'm sure they're going to appreciate that.
Ben and Andrew, they haven't put one out yet. And then a lot of my lower league podcasts didn't do one until – after the fixtures, the Easter Monday fixtures. So I was listening to Talk Sport, and they were talking about how Burnley can stay up and survive. And I'm like, give it a damn break. They are as bad as we are. Yes, I get it. They're 3 points ahead of us or however many. I haven't even looked at the table. So if they're 3 points ahead of us, I mean – oh, God, they're okay. You said we're 8 points adrift. They're 5 points adrift. Yeah, they ain't picking up that many more points. They play us. Okay, they give them, they might get another three, but other than that, there's nothing there. I don't get it, but I don't know. I don't understand the obsession, the love affair with Burnley, because probably because they're owned by J.J. Watt and they have Vincent Kompany as their manager and so on.
Oh, yeah. He plays beautiful football, don't you know?
He got sent off against Chelsea Saturday. Yeah, running his jib.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Yep.
Crazy. Well, what do you say, Chatto? You want to get into it here?
Let's do it.
So the first opportunity came in the fifth minute, with United winning a free kick in the attacking half. Ollie Arblaster puts in an absolute peach of a ball that's headed goalwards by McBurnie, looking for BBD, but at the last second, it is claimed by the keeper, Leno. And, I think it was kind of a sign of things to come maybe in the second half, that there were some good balls being put into the box early from United. That was really kind of one of our best opportunities in that first half, as we didn't have a whole lot going forward, I'll say. But the quality on that ball that Arblaster put in, I just think that was a little bit of a kind of a warning sign of what we would see to him, from him in this match. He had a fantastic game. You agree?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he did. And as we will allude to in the second half, when he went out, the wheels fell off the car.
And
slammed into the guardrail.
The wheels fell off the boat.
Yep. Boat with wheels.
That's on the trailer that you're loading the boat into, mm-hmm, the water.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yep. Just wanted to clarify. The first chance for Fulham came in the seventh minute as Anthony Robinson, the American, receives a pass from Pereira, and he took a shot from outside the box that was saved easily enough by Gerbich. And then Fulham had a free kick from about 30 yards out that was sent towards the back post, but it ended up being cleared by United. And a little bit more on Gerbich. I thought that he had a really, really good first half. He came out to claim balls that were put through by Fulham. He ultimately made like a few really, really good saves, which we'll get to. But if he can play more halves like that, I think I'll feel a lot more comfortable with him being our permanent keeper in the championship next season, you know?
Yeah, I'm still along the lines of just get him out. I'm in this phase of don't matter how long you've been here, clear you out.
Well,
I'm in clear out mode. I understand we're going to have money to afford them. I mean, we're going to have to keep some of these players, but to me, I'm just in clear out mode.
Fair enough. 22nd minute, Munoz passes for Paulinho, who has a shot from outside the box that is high. 30th minute, Fulham were building up, and the ball goes into Munoz and then falls for Lukic, who drives into the box before it's poked out for Munoz again, like who looks to have his back jumped on by Souza, but it ends up being a foul going the other way. It was like a high boot from Souza, and he like jumped, and then he was caught by Munoz, and that's why it was a foul going the other way. It was like a very weird sort of passage of play there. And then like Souza comes down and he's like grabbing his back and you're like, oh fuck, another injury for United. But he ended up getting back up and playing on there. Did you think that Souza had a decent game? He was responsible for one of the goals, for the first goal.
Yeah. Here's my thoughts on Souza. He goes and runs his mouth.
Yeah.
Saying why he's not in the team, in Brazil's team. And the dude couldn't be 400,000 miles away from the Brazil team. There ain't no way that bum's getting in there. And he says it's because how the team's going, why he's not in the Brazil side. Well, Mr. said bum, if you were this great Brazilian talent, you'd be playing for someone else than Sheffield United. I know that's a slight on us, but we suck, and we knew we were going to suck. And this bum comes into the team and thinks that since he's going to play for Sheffield United in the Premier League, he deserves a spot in the Brazil squad. My ass, you do. The dude couldn't pass his way out of a paper bag for about the first 6 weeks of the season. Then he got rounded into form after Wilder come in for a little bit. He's since picked up, but he's still ass, in my opinion.
I don't think he's good enough for this level. That's for damn certain. I think in the championship, I mean, he's one. We're talking about players that we want to clear out. I think he's one for the championship.
Yeah, his mold seems to fit that, but also
he likes a tackle. He's strong in defense. He just doesn't really have that much going forward. He can't pass very well, but he functions in that defensive midfielder position as just like, another on the back line. And
yeah.
I think if we're going to try to play more conservatively next season, which all signs are pointing to us kind of returning to the tried and true,
mm-hmm.
Cause it's worked in the championship for us, then, I think Souza's kind of a player that you're going to need.
I mean, it certainly sets up to be an interesting decision what they're going to have to make in terms of, his future at the club for next season.
Apparently, and we'll get to this later, but, there was an incident when he went off allegedly. So
I read that too.
Talk about that when the time comes. 34th minute, JLT puts in a long throw that Anel gets ahead to. He loops it, basically, and it falls right into the catching arms of Leno. And then it looked around that time that there were little niggles for both McBurnie and Ben Brereton-Diaz. They both looked to be injured, but ended up kicking on and obviously would play a major role in the second half.
That was a bit worrying for me. I believe I said it during the watch along. It was like, oh, great. We're going to have two strikers out. Who are we going to bring on now? Osula?
Yeah.
God's greatest gift to the earth, Rian Brewster. He's done for probably 2 years now. It was his birthday today. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Put a short monologue of his goal contributions in Sheffield United. Only be about 12 seconds.
Yeah. Exactly.
Longer video of him being injured than goals.
Him cheering from the sidelines. That goes into the highlight video.
Running out. Yeah. Yeah.
38th minute, Iwobi drives towards the box before putting in a really good pass for Munoz, who drives past Ahmed Hodzic and Robinson before putting a shot on that looked to hit the post, but then it comes back to Munoz, who skies it. But upon review, it's a really good save from Garbic last second. You just want to see him kind of maybe push it around the post there, but he ends up getting like fingertips to it, and then it strikes the post. But all in all, good save. He did his job. He kept the ball out of the net there.
Yeah. Before we move on, what were your thoughts on – seems to be a question that's being posed over Sheffield United people that talk on the internet. JLT being El Capitan and displacing Anel Ahmed Hodzic for probably the rest of the season. I mean, big breaking news. Oh my god. Or just
he is the captain, though. I mean, it's like I think you know, Anel Ahmed Hodzic was given the armband, you know, to maybe try to spurn on his play. His play hasn't really gotten that much better, to be perfectly honest. But the two players that act most like the captain out there are McBurnie and JLT. I mean, those are your captain material right there. So I don't really understand, you know, why this late in the season we're doing it. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's obvious. JLT is captain material.
Yeah.
And I think next year he will be. He'll continue to be the captain.
Now the question, I guess the second part of the question I have, do you think – because I thought JLT played like absolute ass against Fulham. Do you think the weight of the captain's armband could possibly affect JLT, you know, going down the stretch here, you know, it weighing a little heavy on him and being like, oh, well, I'm responsible for this and this and this and this and this, and it takes away from his game, and then his game goes to ass and everybody starts jumping on him. They're like, where's the guy that was here for the first part of the season? Now he's switched off. Since he's got the captaincy, you know, now his ego's huge or whatever, you know. I'm just thinking all the stuff that he could compartmentalize and, you know, end up screwing his game up for the rest of the season.
I really don't read too much into it, Chad, to be honest with you. I don't think the armband really weighs that heavy on anyone. I think your form is your form, and, you know, I think he had the greatest game that he's had for United? JLT? No, I don't. I don't think he had an amazing game. But at the same time, I don't think that the armband plays that much into it, if I'm being perfectly honest with you. So, I mean, that's my opinion on it. You may disagree, but I think ultimately it doesn't really matter. It's, you know, it's a piece of fabric, you know, on your arm. That's really what it boils down to. Getting back into it here, 39th minute, Anel clears down pitch. Bogle rushes onto it, picks it up, drives into the right-hand side of the box before skying a ball over the top of the bar and out for a goal kick. 41st minute, Iwobi had a shot inside the box that was saved by Garbic. And then right at the death of the half into stoppage time off a corner, McBurnie can't get on it, but it goes out to Bogle, who passes for Arblaster, and then he deftly escapes his defender, passes for Hamer, who drives towards the center of the box and then has a shot that is close, but ultimately misses to the right of net. And that was basically half. I mean, I was just surprised we didn't concede, and I kind of took that as a small victory at the time, you know?
Yeah, I think I said it when you jumped on the watch along in the second half. I said, first half was like watching paint dry. I mean, it was boring. I was yawning on the watch along. That's how boring it was. But yeah, I mean, it's a small victory. And I said it even when we were, you know, giving the lead away to Fulham and just, you know, letting them back in the game. Yeah, it sucks that we ended up 3-3, but I mean, it's a half decent. It's a small win for me. I mean, hell, first time we scored three goals in the league in God knows how long.
We did it this season. I mean, we beat Luton.
Yeah, when we played Luton. But I don't know. It was a smaller victory. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying to pull a win out of someone's ass. So.
Yeah, hey, you know, you got to take the positives away for it. From it, you know? So we had a couple scary moments to start out the second half. An amazing cross from Pereira out on the right-hand side from Munoz on the left-hand side of the box. He heads it back the other way past Garbage, but it deflects off the post. Very, very nervy there. And then immediately following that moment, Willian at the top left corner of the box passes for Pereira, who plays it back for Willian into the box, and he slots it for Lukic, and Arblaster's there to put his body on the line, deflects it out for a corner. I mean, Arblaster playing for the fucking shirt, man. You absolutely love to see it. I mean, we can talk about what he did offensively, but as we'll get to in a moment, I mean, he had two key defensive moments here early in the second half that really kind of ensured that, you know, mentally we didn't go down on the score sheet, and then we didn't go down mentally as well. Really, really strong moments from Arblaster.
Yeah, he looks like he's ready to do good things for the old red and white Wizards when the games that are more competitive for us next year matter.
Yep.
I mean, I'm really excited to see what he has in him. And watch, we could be talking him up, and he's a huge flop next year and sucks.
Hopefully he doesn't do a Jebison.
Right.
Hopefully he really, you know, is kind of like a new signing next season, you know, and he's starting the majority of the games. I mean, after this one, you know, I'm throwing him in against, Liverpool this Thursday.
Me too. I agree with that. I think he starts. You're going to have to give him a break because you don't want to tire him out. You don't want to run him into the ground and then cause an injury.
Yeah.
Maybe give him a break against Liverpool and give him a run against Chelsea. It's a game, as weird as this sounds, it's a game I think we have a decent chance of in. I mean, Chelsea are absolute ass.
Yep. 53rd minute, Pereira puts in a corner for Adebayo, and he heads the ball, and it misses just to the left. 55th minute, Willian puts in a really good splitting ball for Robinson, who passes for Iwobi, who has his shot blocked again by Arblaster, putting it all on the line, laying out, deflecting the ball for a corner. Two plays in 7 minutes that show why Arblaster is going to be one for the future for United. And like we just said, man, he's definitely earned his spot moving forward. 58th minute, a giveaway by Fulham to Arblaster in their half. He passes for McBurnie out on the left. McBurnie sweetly with the outside of his boot puts in a pass for a wide open Ben Brereton Diaz, can't speak, who smashes it into the back of the net. And it's the first goal at Bramall Lane in over 2 months by the senior team. The last one in that 2-5 loss to Brighton in the cup. I mean, can you believe that? Wow. January 27th was the last time we scored a goal at Bramall Lane.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. That is unbelievable. Yeah, but I mean, it's no surprise. We're ass. You know, we haven't scored that many goals. Yep. But what an assist from Ollie McBurnie, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's a pipe dream, but, you know, Brereton Diaz, man.
I was just about to say that.
McBurnie. Dude, if we get that pairing in the championship, that'll be lethal. Then they'll go like 28 games without touching a damn ball and we'll be screwed. But
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what a link up pairing that is.
We have to do whatever we can to try to get Ben Brereton Diaz back on loan.
I won't be able to afford him.
I mean, maybe on loan. Maybe.
Villarreal's using this as hell yeah. He's scoring goals in the Prem. We're going to cash in on this guy next year.
You're probably right. You're probably right. But who knows? Maybe, like, you know, the first few games will be played, and then, like, right at the end of the window, they'll be like, yeah, we're not even using him. So here you go, Sheffield United. He clearly loved his time there. He wants to come back. You know, I mean, we didn't think James McAtee was going to be coming back this year. So entirely plausible that there's some sort of relationship maybe there with Villarreal. Probably not like the one we have with City. But I'd be interested to see next season who we might be able to get from City, because I think that there's definitely a connection there between this club and Manchester City. You know, we've had too many loans from them recently to, you know, kind of explain away a possible link there. You know, somebody in the front office. Anyway, back into the game. Fulham would get back into the game really quickly. In the 62nd minute, Pereira with a corner right onto the head of Joao Palhinha, who loop heads it into the left-hand corner of the net. 1-1, easy as you like, too easy. You know, and it was Souza's fuck up there, not marking Palhinha, and, you know, a mental mistake there from Vinny Souza.
Yeah, just not one of his better days, but hey, it is what it is. I mean, damn, look, we scored on 58 minutes. Bang, they virtually go up the other end and score the next time. It's just, it is what it is, I guess.
Yep, and then another chance and another goal for United in the 68th minute. It's very much like kind of like the reverse of the first goal scored by Ben Brereton Diaz. Robinson passes for Hamer, who's fouled, and then before the cameras could even cut back on you know, on our stream watching the game, United restart play. The ball's played down the line for Ben Brereton Diaz, who cuts it back slightly for McBurnie, again with the outside of the foot, and McBurnie just taps it in. Another easy as you like it goal for United.
Yeah, I mean, I just, the link up play was spectacular. But we caught we caught Fulham with a little bit of sneaky hide-ems and went a little quick, and they weren't ready, and that's why that goal busted open. But, yeah, I mean, good interplay between those two. At least, would it be fair to say that I would give that front two partnership a run against, you know, for the majority of the games we have left as well?
Absolutely. I mean, there's no reason not to. You know, three goals from between the two of them in one game – I mean, it's clearly working. So, yeah, I mean, my humble opinion is you keep that. And if Hamer can keep putting in the balls like he's putting in, then, you know, perhaps we'll get some more goals. I mean, you know, I'm getting back to it. I mean, immediately off the restart, Arblaster wins the ball back. He passes for McBurnie, who passes for Hamer out on the left. And then Hamer puts in a beautiful cross for Ben Brereton Diaz. Again, that man heads it past Leno, 3-1. We thought we were flying into our fourth win of the season here, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, it wasn't to be.
All signs were pointing go for old Sheffield United. Yep. And then the wheels came off the boat and we started to sink.
Then there were some afters between McBurnie and Leno, with the latter being checked for a violent conduct red card. You know, we don't get those, so nothing's given. And the game's restarted at the center of the pitch. And then following that goal, Iwobi is replaced by Kearney. He would have a part to play later on. 77th minute, Souza goes down with an injury, but gets up and plays on, but he would be subbed a little bit later. 82nd minute, off of a free kick on the left-hand side, Hamer puts in a cross back stick for Robinson. He passes for McBurnie, who is a shot that's blocked. It deflects back to him, and then he puts the ball in the back of the net. So it was 4-1. VAR would review it, and then it was determined that it took a flick off of Souza in the box, and then the goal was overturned. And, you know, there are a lot of United fans saying, like, where did this come from? But I do think that Souza was offside. And the ball did kind of take a little deflection off of him. So, I mean, I don't like it. You know, you don't have to like it, but I think ultimately the correct call was made.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I agree. I mean, you can see it on the replay. It took a deflection. Took a little flick. Don't count. It is what it is. 3-1.
And then very crucially, in the 85th minute, we would see substitutions of Raul Jimenez for Adebayo, and then Tete for Castagna, De Cordova-Reed for Pereira for Fulham, and then Norwood would replace Arblaster, and Trusty would replace Souza. The latter of those substitutions really are one of the reasons I think that Fulham were able to get back into this game. I know that Souza had a little bit of an injury. He was knocked around a lot in this game. And then apparently after the game, there were some afters with Wilder and Souza, those two butting heads. Apparently Souza was like laughing on the sideline when the two goals went in. So we might see his ass get pulled out of there. But I think there's definitely some immaturity from Souza. You know,
yeah. I mean, you gotta be better than that, dude. I mean, you get pulled off. It is what it is, dude. This is life, man. You're not gonna get everything spoon fed to you and someone patting your ass and telling you you're doing a great job, man. If he took you out, he took you out. It is what it is. Yeah, it coincides with just giving up two goals. Hey, it is what it is, man. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Yep. I mean, you know, he might have a little bit of a big head right now because.
Of course he does.
He's dating that chick from Love Island.
Of course. That's all we need.
Whose name is escaping me. Arabella something. I'm trying to look into what her name is. But yeah, apparently he's dating some woman from Love Island. Arabella Chi, apparently, is her name. She is not unattractive. I will just put it to you that way.
I would highly doubt if she's on a show called Love is Blind.
I think it's Love Island.
Love Island. Love is Blind is the one over here.
Yep. Two very different shows. One, you don't see the person you're trying to date.
Lindsay was watching it the other day and I walked in and it's like, what the hell is this? They're talking to people but can't see them.
I cannot stand reality television.
No, God, no. It's just monotonous, rotting your brain.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about football being fixed. You know, all of reality
good
TV
God.
Is fixed. Anyway, so immediately following those substitutions, very, very costly for United. Fulham go the other way. Kearney, about 28 yards from goal, passes for De Cordova-Reed, who has a shot from, you know, pretty far downtown that blows past Garbage into the bottom left-hand corner, 3-2 at this point. 88th minute, Traore had a shot from the right side of the box. That went high. 90th minute, McAtee replaced McBurnie. And then the board goes up, and it's 14 fucking minutes.
5 minutes? Five minutes? No! 14 minutes.
I mean, 14 minutes. And where those 14 minutes come from, God only knows. But I mean, this is like the reason, Chad, why I'm so happy we're going to be playing championship football. In the Leeds versus Hull game, I think there were 7 minutes of stoppage, and then I think there were 7 minutes in the Southampton Ipswich game earlier. And I'm just like, yeah, that seems about right, you know. Especially if there's a bunch of goals in the second half and a couple injuries. Seven minutes is probably, unless there's a major injury, like, you know, like the one that Basham had earlier in the season, you know.
That makes sense.
I mean, there should not be 14 minutes in a normal passage of play. It's just ridiculous. I have half a mind, Chad, to go back on NBC on Peacock and like rewatch that second half with a stopwatch and just see, like, that's how badly I just want to prove that. There's no way that there's 14. That's basically a third of a half. A third of a half? You're telling me that for a third of the half they weren't playing football? Bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
No, I agree with that. I think before they put the board up, I had it like maybe eight minutes. I mean, we had, to that point, we had five goals. You had a line change from both teams for subs. So, I mean, you're probably 8 minutes, nowhere near 14.
Yeah.
14 gives you deja vu of Tottenham's going to slam two passes, take the win. And as you're about to allude to, Fulham scores to level the game.
Yep. Yep. 91st minute off a poorly cleared ball by trusty Fulham get a corner, and Robinson has a shot from outside the box that is saved by Garbage. And then we come to their drawing goal, I guess, 93rd minute. Kearney passes for Willian at the top of the box on the right-hand side. He passes for Traore in the box, and then Traore loops one in for Munez, who scissor kicks it into the back of the net. You know, another week, another draw from a winning position. And yeah, absolute shambles. And, you know, like we have the group chat or whatever. And Ben from Blades Pod said that, like, this one is almost more difficult to swallow than a 5-0 loss at home, which I kind of am inclined to agree with.
Yeah. I mean, when they put the 14 minutes up, I knew there was going to be a leveler in it. And it was just a matter of time of when we were going to get it. So I was kind of almost reserved of like, yeah, this isn't going to go our way, and it's either going to be a draw or another loss. And
yeah,
it turned out to be a loss, but or I mean a draw. But in the end of the day, I'm just so tuned out with this season and this team right now that it doesn't really affect me anymore. There's nothing really on the line. If we got this back to where it was 3 points, you know, to safety, yeah, then I'd give two shits about it. But now we're so far adrift, nothing to get all like spun up about. It's not worth it right now for me.
Yep. I mean, this was said many times, you know, only Sheffield United could go 4-1 up and draw 3-3. I mean,
yeah, no kidding.
And I think more than the draw against Villa, that 3-3 draw in the championship in 2019 when Billy Sharp got the hat trick, I think this hurt more for me, yeah. You know? I mean, granted, we were in a promotion race at that time and we're in not even really in a relegation battle, but 3 points definitely would have helped. But it, just the way we went about losing or drawing this game, it feels like a loss, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really does. Anyway, Chatto, who was your man of the match in this game?
I'll give it to McBurnie because I got shades of old McBurnie from last year. And that there still is a player in there, whether we're going to sign him or not. It, you know, it all boils down to what happens in the future. But for my money, I put it on old McBurnie. Old McBurnie had a farm.
Old McBurnie scored a goal. I'm going to go with Ben Burton Diaz. You know, two goals and an assist. Yeah, factored into all three goals. So. That's a man on form, and you know, I mean, we really did miss him when he was out for that period of time. And you're absolutely right; he goes right back into the starting 11 come this Thursday when we play the champions, and we'll get to or not the champions, the league leaders, I should say. Liverpool. We'll get
Imagine
to that.
Imagine if we go and shock these sons of bitches.
I mean, they. We'll talk about it in a second, but. All right, well, yeah, let's just get to it right now. Let's
4-0 Sheffield United win, just grub their ass for 90 minutes.
At Anfield.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you would love to see it. You would absolutely love to see it. This is a game that, unfortunately, I'm probably going to have to miss because I'm going to be in a meeting at the time, unfortunately. So I'm not going to really get a chance to watch it. But, yeah, so... It's a 7:30 kickoff this Thursday, April the 4th, against league leading Liverpool, who, you know, are obviously on scary good form. This past weekend, they beat Brighton 2-1. Prior to that, they did lose to Man United in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, but You know, I mean, it was a, kind of a crazy game. You know, that there was the extra time, and then they they got three goals in extra time. Did you watch any of that?
It was some insane, absolutely insane game.
I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch the highlights of that because it just sounds mad. But yeah, you know, they're kicking right along in the Europa League. They probably look odds on to win the Europa League or at least get to the final. You'd have to think maybe.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
Drew against Man City prior to that in the league. Beat Nottingham Forest away prior to that. Beat Southampton in the cup before that, and then beat Chelsea in the league before that. You know, in the league, they're not scoring a ton of goals right now. A lot of these are just simple 1-0 wins or 2-1 wins or 1-1 draws. I mean, you have to go back to February 21st where they scored more than two goals in the league, which means they're odds on to put sixth past us in this. As far as Liverpool are concerned, maybe there might be some chopping and changing. You know, I mean, I think Salah will start probably. Van Dijk will start probably. McAllister probably will start. Nunez will probably start. Do you see a similar team?
Yeah, I think it's a similar team they played this weekend. I don't think they're going to – I think they're more concerned about winning this league than they are because it's Klopp's swan song, and if he goes on top winning the league, how fitting it would be. Yeah, I think they'll put their strongest 11 out and just absolutely beat us like a drum.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that happening. What about United? How do you see – you see a very similar team to the one that we put out?
If I'm United, I'm rolling the same team out there. Maybe putting McAtee in there.
Yeah, the only change that I can really see from the one that played the other day is probably Vinny Souza is going to be taken out. I think Wilder's a little fed up with him right now, and I can easily see Vinny Souza coming out and maybe McAtee coming in. Maybe you have Arblaster playing a little bit further back. But to be honest with you, I mean, you know, having both Arblaster and Hamer play a little bit more forward with Vinny Souza kind of tucked in right in front of our back line, I don't know. I mean, I think that that's kind of worked for us. So maybe we do see the exact same side put out.
Yeah, you never know.
You know, the question is, you know, against Chelsea, you feel you have a better at home. You have a better chance of getting 3 points, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Do you hedge your bet and go for it against Chelsea on Sunday as opposed to putting out a stronger lineup for Liverpool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a good question for sure. We're not going to be doing a podcast. So let me get a score prediction for this one against Liverpool, and then we'll roll right into previewing Chelsea here.
I'll go 4-0 Liverpool.
Yeah. 4-0 Liverpool. I'm going to say 3-0. I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic than you.
Pretty much a hammering coming in. Yeah. The curious thing I'm going to say is how many shots are we going to have? Over 3 shots on goal.
Ooh, over or under? I'm going to take the over on that.
I'll take under all day. I think we have one shot.
You want to put fiver on it?
Sure.
All right. So I'm looking forward to getting $5 because are you saying total shots or shots on goal?
No, shots on goal. The ones that come.
Okay.
Not you total shots. Yeah, we'll probably have
3 saves made by Allison.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not even Allison. No.
Oh, it's... Who's
They've
their
got
keeper?
A backup keeper, and Allison's been out for 2 months.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, moving right along to Chelsea. Most recently, they drew 2-2 at home to Burnley. Prior to that, they beat Leicester City in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. They narrowly beat Newcastle prior to that, 3-2 at home. They drew away to Brentford. Prior to that, beat Leeds in the cup prior to that, and then lost at home to Liverpool. So, you know, I mean, they haven't exactly lost a lot of games recently. They've drawn a couple, not been on the best of form. But Cole Palmer's really been lighting it up recently. He's been amazing for them, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. He's their main man.
Yep.
He's their main man. If you're able to take him out of the game, they struggle. Most teams have it, and he's beat them.
Yep. So, I mean, we'll really have to man mark him in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I expect they'll put out a similar lineup to the one they put out against Burnley. You know, Jackson, Gallagher, Palmer, and Mudrick, Fernandez, Caicedo, Petrovic in goal. A
lot of money there.
Yeah, a lot of money in there. What is a $1 billion team that Chelsea have?
Yeah, just like your team that's right down the road from you, Mr. Schneider, and the LA Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I know. The Dodgers have spent over $1 billion this year.
Yeah, their top four in the batting order are over $1 billion.
Crazy. But this is not a baseball podcast, so we'll just immediately get into score predictions for the match against Chelsea.
I think we put up a good fight since it's at home. I think we end up 2-1 losers.
I'm going to say a draw. I'm going to say 2-2. Goals from McBurnie, and then, you know, fuck it. Let's say Arblaster scores his first in for the Red and White Wizards.
Yeah, I would really like that because I will probably be betting on that.
That would be I. You know what? That's worth a fiver. That's worth a fiver to put down.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to pitch before we take off here, Chatto?
Nope. The Liverpool preview podcast and Chelsea preview podcast should be coming down the pipe here in the next few days.
I got to get on that. That's on me.
Any of our beloved listeners in the Phoenix, Glendale, Arizona area this weekend, I will be there for the men's Final Four on Saturday and championship game on Monday. If you want to go out and or come out and watch the Chelsea-Sheffield United game, come out and hang out. Send me a message or something. Contact me. Reach out to the pod or something. I'll let you know where we're going to be, and we can meet up and have a few Sheffield United fans together.
That would be great. I'm kind of tempted to drive out, you know, wake up super early on Sunday, drive out, because it's not that far. It's only about 5 or 6 hours for me to drive.
It's not too bad.
Yeah, maybe I will. Hey, maybe we might be meeting up sooner than your wedding, bud.
Exactly. There you go. Just hop in the ride and roll on over.
Yeah, I've done that drive before in one day. My partner Joy, we went to like a geology sort of convention thing out there. There a bunch
looking
of people
at rocks,
selling rocks, man. Yeah, standing it was fun. Rock. It was a good time in Quartzsite, Arizona. Arizona. Anyway, before we take off here, please do not forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube page. Just put in Red Half of Sheffield in your search bar on YouTube. Do give us a follow on Instagram at the Red Half of Sheffield, on Facebook at the Red Half of Sheffield, on Twitter at Red Sheffield. Mr. Jarvis, you can find at CJarvis_13. You can follow me, Noah Snyder, on Instagram at Sunpuck, on Twitter at Nessman930. And so until next week when we're reviewing two games, the Liverpool game, which will likely be a loss, and then hopefully a draw or better at Chelsea at the weekend, I will leave you with this, Mr. Chatto. Up the Blades.
Up the Blades.
Come on, you red and white wizards.